us tonight. We feel the need to be prayers. I know Brother Jake feels that need too. So y'all pray for us that we have a good service tonight.
Thank you.
need a lot of sympathy.
We kind of planned this. We didn't think many people would be here tonight. Todd done gone ruined that for us. I think Ray thought they all come see him.
I appreciate this group, appreciate them sharing their music with us tonight. As they played, I was thinking about it wasn't really very long ago when they were just starting to get together and do this. I heard them one night up here in the basement practicing, and they have come a long way in a short time, and it's obvious they've been working hard, and we appreciate them sharing their talent here with us tonight. Want to encourage them to just keep playing. Again, we are here tonight to hear Brother Todd's first sermon, and I want to, as he comes, I want you to continue to pray for him as he stands before us tonight to preach. I love Brother Todd. He's a good, solid church member, faithful church member. Brother Todd has been teaching the young adult Sunday school class for 2 years, or about 2 years, and I've heard him down there before bring lessons, and he does a good job teaching the Sunday school class. He was leading our prayer meeting this past Wednesday evening, and really presented a wonderful lesson Wednesday night, and towards the end of that he told the church that he had been called to preach, and we're just thankful to have him here tonight. I'm sure that he's somewhat nervous. I can remember the first time that I stood to preach. I was very nervous, and I don't think he's doesn't appear to be anyway as nervous as I was. I about passed out. But brother Todd's been a friend, and thankful to the Lord for that. And we need to get behind him and pray for him and encourage him and support him in his ministry in every way that we can. Thankful for his sweet family that the Lord has blessed him with, and I know that they'll be a great help to him. And so as he comes tonight to bring the message, I just I want to encourage him this evening to just follow the Lord and say that God would have you to preach. I was talking to someone before service, and someone said, "How are you, Brother Miller?" And I said, I thought about there for a moment. I thought about something that Brother Paul Bryson said to me years ago. And so when someone asked me how I was doing, I said, "I'm fine. I'm not preaching my first sermon tonight." Brother Bryson, the day that I was ordained, going to be ordained at Fellowship Church in Indianapolis, I was standing at the back door there, and I was, or actually at the front door, and I was very nervous, and here comes Brother Bryson in, and I extended my hand to him, and I said that to him. I said, "How are you, Brother Bryson?" And he said, "I'm fine. I'm not being ordained today." So, but you pray for Brother Todd as he stands before us tonight, and give your attention for a little while here to the Word of God.
Who else wants to hear the band play like for an hour? I think that'd be wonderful. As Brother Miller said, Wednesday night I announced my call to preach, and I really went there with no intention to do so. It's just God kind of put me in a spot. I've been running from it for a while, and it just kind of put me in a spot where I just couldn't run from it anymore. So you guys pray for me that I would follow the Lord and do what he'd have me to do. And you know, everybody's asked me, am I nervous about tonight? Am I nervous? You know, you got to be scared to death. And, you know, I'm not really nervous. And the reason I'm not nervous is because at this point in time, you know, this is what God wants me to do. So, you know, I'm not nervous for that reason. You know, how long will my ministry last? You know, I'd like to preface by just saying, how long will my ministry? Who knows? You know, you don't ever know, do you, Brother Moran? I'll tell you. The best piece of advice I've gotten came from, honestly, the most unlikely source, and that was my mom. When I called and told her, and she actually related to me that a couple years ago they were going through a very hard financial time, and she actually related to me that she got saved during that time. So anyway, she said, make sure when you stand up there, that it's God's words and it's not Todd's words. So I promise you that as long as it's God's words, I'll stand. But the minute it's not, I won't be standing anymore. And I won't be apologetic over it. I think that it would be more, I would be doing more damage than good if I were to continue to stand and God wasn't in. So you guys pray for me. I'm kind of a free-willing guy. I don't really worry about a whole lot of stuff, but I can't say that Amy's the same. So you guys pray for her more than you pray for me. So she tends to be the worrier. Oh, and we're going to a third world country next week. Okay, with that, not trying to put any kidding aside, with all kidding aside, My first sermon will come out of the book of Matthew, chapter 15, starting with verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy to you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is afar from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And I'm going to stop right there. And, you know, it's funny how God works. After I announced that I had been called to preach, a couple days later I was talking to a friend at work. And when I say at work, it was on a cell phone because we're remote. And he's one of the few people, which, you know, it's a sad thing to say, he's one of the few people that I know that I can speak to in my company, and I know that about the things of God, and I know that nothing's going to come of it. And he was telling me about his church. And he was telling me, and this, keep in mind, his church may or may not be one we would associate with. I don't know. I've never attended. But his church has a youth minister, and he felt led by God that he needed to do that job. So he let the church know that, you know, I want to do this job. So the pastor and the deacons of the church gathered together and they said, well, we'll let you do part-time first. So he said, okay, I'll do it part-time. And as time went along, he came to him and he said, hey, am I ever going to really get this position? And they said, you haven't gone through seminary school or theology school, so we can't really give you that position. Let me tell you something tonight. God won't be boxed in with formalities and traditions. He just won't. You know, if you try to box God in, he will pick up and go somewhere where they will allow his spirit to be free. Amen. So they tell him, they said, well, you don't really have the knowledge to do that job. And he got really bummed out about it, he told me, and he started looking around at other churches. And it really blew my mind that, you know, you had a church pastor that would say that, but I guess this day and age, we shouldn't really be surprised by anything. We know that this is not the case. You know, Paul wrote in Acts chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, after John and Peter had been arrested, and they'd asked him, they said, they were arrested after they were preaching and like 5,000 were saved. So they said, hey, who gives you authority to do this, and whose name do you do this? So they said, well, Jesus, obviously. And their answer was, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It says, now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived they were unlearned and ignorant. So, you know, unlearned, they perceived John and Peter to be unlearned and ignorant. And they took the knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's the thing. This world nowadays is so focused on man, on just knowledge. Knowledge you learn from a book. Knowledge you just pick up from whatever. You know, you could take this book right here, and you can just read it, and it's words on a page. You know, you can read it, and you can tell me what it says where. Until you have the Spirit in it, you don't really know what it says. You know, once you have the Spirit in it, then you can tell me what it really says. Yeah, I remember when I got saved, I would read, and it was just, like I said, it was words on a page. But then, you know, when you get saved, your eyes are opened. Your eyes are opened. You see things you didn't see before. You're able to see what they're talking about. You're able to see and understand things that you didn't understand before. Job, in chapter 34 of Job, verse 34, he says, "Let men of understanding tell me, but let wise men hearken unto me." Wise men choose to listen to God. Wise men choose to hear the things that God's telling them to do. See, my friend, he felt led to do that, just like I felt led to announce my call to preach. You know, he was following God. Whether or not we agreed with that church is neither here nor there. God impressed upon him he needed to do that. He should have been doing that. I really believe that way. But here you have them saying, through formality, he can't do that. He hasn't gone through the classes. On an application, he would not get hired. Now, somebody did fill out an application for that job, and they did get it. And I think most of them are not really happy with the situation. And that's what happens, isn't it, when we try to wrangle in God through formality. You know, the Spirit will not stay where the Spirit's not wanted. Proverbs, in chapter 12 of Proverbs, it says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." You know, and again it says, "But he that hearken unto counsel is wise." Now, it's pretty sad in this country that when you tell someone that they need to seek God, a lot of times they'll take that as an offense. When you say, "Oh, we need to, you know, take, you know, not just leaders of our country, but just in the individual households nowadays." You know, when you, it used to be listening to God was second nature. You know, not for everyone. Don't misunderstand me. Not for everyone, but it was second nature. But we've forgotten how to listen. And this church, I'm so thankful for this church, because this church hasn't forgotten how to listen. You know, and there's sister churches likewise that haven't forgotten how to listen. You know, if we close our ears, the wisdom's gone. There is no wisdom unless we hear what God is trying to tell us. So then, as I, you know, the week progressed, and then as I told you, I spoke to my mother, and she started telling me about the church that my grandfather's in. His picture's still up on the wall there. You know, he was a pretty respected member of that church. So then she starts telling me about things that's happening there, and I love that church. Don't get me wrong, I love that church. It's a little old country church, and they sing a different way and they worship a different way, but you can always feel the Spirit. So she starts telling me about something, there's things that are going on, and that gets me to my, I want to read something out of Mark chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. It says, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold to the tradition of men as washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." So here you have the church that I grew up in, so to speak, they only met once a month. And she starts telling me, she says, "Well, I don't really know about that church up there anymore." And I'm like, "Well, what's going on?" And she says, "Well, a lady tried to join their church the other day, and they wouldn't accept her because her hair was too short." I can't make that up. You know, we should always look to hold on to our traditions. You know, we should always look to hold on to the things that make us us. But when the things that make us us hinder the things that God wants to do, then those things we need to set aside. They're not traditions that we need to hold on to anymore. They're hindering the Spirit. You know, anytime you've got some kind of tradition or formality, and it's just not, the Spirit's not in it, then it should be tossed aside. Let me tell you something. Wednesday night, I didn't come here wanting to say, "Hey, I've been called to preach." I didn't plan on it. I told them, I said, I came here to deliver my message, to deliver my lesson, and hit the door running. But that, I just wasn't allowed to do it. The Spirit wouldn't allow it. You know, Brother Miller taught a lesson a few weeks ago about obedience. And he said, you know, it's amazing to me how Baptists will stand in a pew and they'll know they're called to do something and their heart's beating out of their chest and they're about to black out. And guess what? I was standing in that pew, my heart was beating out of my chest, and I was about to black out. But I've never been one to just automatically do it. I'm stubborn. When Brother Moran was pastor here when I first started coming, and I was lost, but I didn't know I was lost when I first started coming here. But it didn't take me very long to learn that I was lost. I started fighting it. You know, every time he would give an altar call, you know, there it goes, beep, beep, beep. And no, I can't go. I can't do that. You know, I was always thinking, what will other people think? What will other people think? You know. We've gotten really too worried about what other people think, don't we? We've gotten way, that carries way too much weight than what it should. You know, we shouldn't worry about what men think. We should only care about what God thinks. And if God thinks that you should be doing something, as Brother Miller stated, you should be doing it. So here I'm standing here Wednesday night, and I give this lesson over recognizing and passing God's test, and I give all these examples. And then, you know, God starts telling me, you're giving a lesson and you're lying. You know, you're giving a lesson and you're lying. I'm giving a lesson about recognizing things. You know, when he told Abraham to take Isaac and to give him up for a burnt offering, and he was testing Abraham's faith. And he's telling me the whole time I'm teaching this class, he says, you're lying. You're lying. Well, of course I knew I was lying. Because I'm standing there, he's put a test in front of me, and I've turned it down. I turned it down. What the two churches that the church that I spoke to about my friend and the one I spoke to about my mom, it really disheartened me to hear that. To hear that they're, you know, that these are churches that's probably on the end of, totally end of the spectrum. The one that my friend went to was a fairly wealthy church. It was a fairly wealthy church. And wealth is not something that is always, you know, going to be counted against you. But he related something to me, and he said, you know, they run their church like a business. Getting back to the formality part, they run their church like a business. And they only worry about the bottom line for the church. As long as that church bottom line's in the black, man, they're happy. And this is the leadership. You know, we're talking about, and I, you know, I don't know these people, don't profess to know them, but this is, I'm relating what he told me and what I could find about it, because it really rested on me very hard. So I looked up, and I found in James 5:1, it says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and it shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together to last the days. You know, it's a funny thing. You know, we have a church here that's been blessed with money, and we use it. And that's what we should do. We shouldn't be a church that's worried about bottom lines. There shouldn't be any church that's worried about bottom lines. When you start worrying about who a man deems is eligible to be to fill a church office, when you go through application process, those are all always subject to scrutiny or you know, they're subject to flaws. You know, when you're filling church positions, the body should decide who's going to fill those positions, as we do. You know, there should never be any instance where, you know, we just say, you don't meet the criteria for that job. I'm telling you, if God tells them to do that, then they meet the criteria. Amen. If God tells them to do that, then they meet criteria to do that. So we should always be careful about being too formal. You know, it seems like too oftentimes when you walk in the door, just like I said, worrying about what people think about you, it seems like too oftentimes we walk in the door and we think, just like I did, man, what am I going to do? What's going to happen today? But then when it comes time for that to happen, what do you do? Ah, man, what are people going to think of me? That's a formality, you know? That's a formality. You're boxing God in. God won't be boxed in. He doesn't fit into any. He doesn't fit into anything that we can create. He's going to be free. And if he won't be free here, if he won't be free there, he'll pick up and go elsewhere. There's time and time again in the Bible we see where they were unwilling to follow God. You know, how many times did Israel fall into darkness and turn away from God? And what did he do? Hey, I'm going to let you fall into bondage again. You know, it seems like they would learn their lesson, wouldn't they? But as times get easy and times get comfortable, it's a lot easier to rest on your laurels. And we don't get anything by resting on our laurels. The Bible never says it's going to be easy. If it was going to be easy, then Wednesday night I would have walked out of here and I wouldn't have announced that I was called. But the Bible doesn't promise us anything is going to be easy. It's amazing to me how people nowadays always try to make the Bible fit what they want it to fit. When the Bible's pretty plain about what it says, you know, they just read it and they hear what they want to hear instead of hearing what it says. That gets back to wisdom. You know, knowledge is of man. Wisdom is imparted of God. You can have the dumbest person in the world, which he's standing up here, by the way. You can have the dumbest person in the world. As long as the Spirit's with him, that's a wise guy, isn't it? He's a smart guy, not a wise guy, but he has wisdom with him. You know, he hearkens to God. He listens to God. He listens to what the Spirit says. That's what we should always be willing to do. Listening to what God is telling us to do is really the first thing we should do in the morning, isn't it, when we wake up. It's the very first thing. Hit your knees and thank God for another day and listen to him and what he wants you to do. It still amazes me that this is where I'm standing at. It amazes me that this is what he wants me to do. I'll be honest with you, the reason I never accepted it, and I'm sure that everyone else that's been called will tell you the same thing. The reason I didn't want to accept it is because I said, me? Me? You know what I do, right? You do know me. Of course he knows you. He knows exactly everything you do and everything that's wrong with you. And there's a funny thing. When you refuse to change those things, God will make you. He will make you change those things. So I guess this is his way of putting me in a position where he's making me do that. What is he making you do? If you're a lost person, what's he telling you to do? Is he telling you to go outside? I don't think so. Is he telling you not to listen to him? I don't think so. God always wants lost people to come into the fold, don't they? To come into the flock. And whether you're saved or whether you're not, we all have the same problem. We all have corruptible flesh. And we all have the ability to turn a deaf ear. But you should never turn a deaf ear. You shouldn't rely on traditions and formalities as a crutch to say, I don't hear what you're saying. You know, you should always be able to hear what he's saying. You know, I think about wisdom and I think about when he called me when the church called me to lead Sunday school. And they started giving me a pretty hard time about it, and I felt about like that, the way I did about tonight. You know, I wasn't really nervous about tonight, but the butterflies were there. But I still was willing, and I'm not pumping myself up, don't get me wrong. I'm still willing to follow, you know, even though necessarily on a personal level you might not agree. Right, Brother Moran? There's a lot of times he puts stuff on you, and from a mental capacity, you don't agree with it. But from a spiritual capacity, who are you to question? Who are you to question? You have no right to question, because without God and without His Son, why would we need preachers? You know, without Jesus Christ dying on the cross, everybody is already going to the same place. So why would there be preachers? Why would God call people to do this? But He still does. And He still does, and He wants them to come in a way where they're doing it openly. They're doing it freely. They're doing it out of love. They're doing it out of a debtitude to Him, because He did something that was so great for us that we can never repay. But He did something that was so great for us because we did so little. You know, you think about salvation, and you know, there's a lot of places nowadays, and Brother Miller talks about it all the time, where you might have a preacher that say, "Come up and shake my hand." They've turned salvation into a formality. You know, all you got to do is go up, say, "I believe," shake a hand, and you're good. Brother Miller preached this morning about people who believe baptism saves you. You know, people who believe that, you know, they're going on tradition or formality, because it's not in the Bible, as he preached this morning. That's not in the Bible. The Bible preaches pretty plainly that you got to be saved by the Holy Ghost. If you're not saved by the Holy Ghost, guess what? You're not saved. You know, I think you think about when the young rich man asked Jesus what he needed to do to be saved. And he said, "Well, sell everything you got and follow me." And he said, "Man, I can't do that. Can't do that." See, he loved his stuff more than he loved God. And that won't fly. You know, we've had a great week. Last Sunday we had a tremendous service, and Brother Miller preached a great sermon. You know, Stephanie got saved. And that, you know, I told Ernest, I said, "Man, that'd been a long time coming, hadn't it?" And he said, "Yeah, it had been." And then Kelly, you know, Kelly also got saved. And then, you know, I don't think I really did anything. I really don't. I don't think I did anything. I did what I was supposed to do. And I'm not trying to build myself up, don't get me wrong. And I'm sorry I'm a little not as lively as I should be, but you're kind of scared the first time. Anyway, I guess all we really need to do, see, I'm a macro guy. When I read the Bible, I'm a macro guy. And I believe that you should always look at it from the big picture. Because the devil's in the details, isn't he? I think if everybody just kept the big picture in mind, you know, what's the important thing? What's important? Well, I think the most important thing is following God, doing what God tells you to do. But oftentimes we fall into this tradition or formality where we say, "Well, I can't do that because they, you know, that's not the way we believe." That's not right. That's not right. You do whatever God tells you to do, and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You know, it's amazing to me how wonderful He is, how awe-inspiring he is, and how he could call somebody like me, who has no business being up here, to do this. And I love him, and I have no other way to say it. I love him. And if you don't know him, then you better start thinking of, you better start getting things right yourself. Because there's coming a day when all that old tradition and all that old formality and all of what men think, there's coming a day when all that's going to fall by the wayside and it's not going to matter. Because what's going to be better? What would be better? Holding on, I'm a big college sports fan, and you know, college, that's all tradition. What's better? Holding on to your traditions, holding on to your formalities, making sure things get done the way they've always been done just because that's the way you think they ought to be. Or letting go and doing things the way God wants them to be done. You know, because I'll tell you right now, traditions and formalities will land you in hell faster than any, you know, pretty quick if you won't relent to the Spirit. If you try to box the Spirit in to something that you want it to fit in. You know, you see people on the altar for a long time. And you think, man, what in the world's holding that person back? Well, they're hanging on to something. I don't know what it is. They're hanging on to something. If they weren't hanging on to something, they would have already stood up and said that they were saved. You hear people get saved. What's the first thing you should do after you're saved? You should want to join a flock, shouldn't you? You should want to join the body. People who get saved and just absolutely refuse to do that because it doesn't fit into their parameters. That's wrong. We're, you know, compared to the infinite wisdom of God, we're dumb. You know, and you could be as analytical and as smart as you think you are. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you refuse to follow the Spirit and you refuse to do what God would have you to do, then you're dumb. You know, you're dumb. As smart as you are, book smarts, or as smart as you are, however, you could be a rocket scientist, whatever. As smart as you are, if you refuse to follow the Spirit, if you refuse to listen to what God is telling you to do, then you're dumb. And I speak pretty plainly, so if I offend someone, I'm sorry. Not really, but I'll let you think that way anyway. But the most important thing that we can do is just follow the Spirit. You know, don't box it in. Don't think. Leave the analytical stuff at the door. When you come in here, you should just feel. You should just feel. Don't think. Thinking really gets in the way, doesn't it? Thinking really gets in the way. When you come in here, you should just feel. Just be. What is the Spirit telling you to do? What are they telling you to do tonight? What are they telling you to do in your Sunday morning service? And whatever it's telling you to do, well, that's what you need to be doing. You know, if that's singing a song, then you better get up and sing a song. You know, if that's going and talking to someone who's lost, then you better get up and go talk to whoever's lost. Whatever that is, whatever that thing is that he's telling you to do, that's what you need to get up and do. And I guess that's really all I've got to say. A brother Buddy gave me a piece of advice, and he said, stand up, speak up, and shut up. So I guess I'll wrap up by saying, please, by all means, just follow the Spirit. Do whatever God would have you to do. And as long as you do that, then you're fine. You're golden. You know, being in God's will is the most important thing that we can do. Being outside of His will is when you land yourself in trouble. So I guess that's my message tonight. I pray that everyone would just follow the Spirit and do whatever it is God would have them to do, and always seek to be in His will. I guess I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Like to have Brother Strobe get a song ready and